that we have to start with an edit, and we recently had the board elections, and one of the complaints of developers is that they never can vote because they don't have enough edits, because most of them don't edit at all, and they never started this way, and some of them never edited, they don't even really know how to do that. So that there are various paths for this. And the other thing is that you really should look at some of the material developed in other languages than English, because I know all these roles are described pretty well, some of them. And well, on the other hand, there are many ways we can help. So I will move on a little bit about this. So yeah, about, well, just a year ago, I stopped being on the board of Wikimedia Foundation for a much needed rest, and I'm happy I did it. And that other people are having fun now to replace me. During that year, I've been helping a little bit on the French chapter, maybe less than I would have expected and hoped, but I tried, which was another path for helping. And I've also started a company to help a private organization to discover the trends on the internet and to discover new path for collaboration and new development in and new tools for collaboration. And whilst I was doing that, I met many people, and I discovered several people tried to start some wikis, and of course it didn't work, but that wouldn't surprise any of you. And the other thing, I discovered and met some people who have been working on the theories of collective intelligence. And I had the memory of me back in 2003 or 2004 reading some stuff about collective intelligence and just pushing that away, because I thought it was, well, what was important was what we were doing and not so much to think about theory. And I looked again at all this theory, and I was actually surprised or even amazed to discover that these theories, which were developed at before Wikipedia existence or at the very beginning when nobody knew anything about it, they actually describe very well what we were doing. And I wanted to reflect a little bit on that at a time where we are trying to think about various strategies, in particular to stimulate participation, because I thought we rarely take the time to put some words on what is important for us, or on the invisible architecture which are behind what we want to do. And so when I decided to come here, I thought I was going to talk about this. I didn't know exactly how I would do it. So I submitted a proposition for a talk. And I kept it extremely undescribed. And of course, the reviewer noticed that. And they made some comments. So these are anonymous people, of course. Maybe the person is in the room, I don't know. And I won't ask, it's anonymous. And one of the reviewers said, no information is given about basically what is going to be said. Okay. And the second thing, he said, additionally, no information is given which lessons are learned by the project, such as the Esperanza at the English Wikipedia. And so I read that and I thought, I have no idea what this project is. So let me just check who knows this project. So I'm sure over there they know. A few there. Okay. Basically, most of the participants to the English Wikipedia back in 2005, 2006 know, and all the other ones, they never heard about this project, right? And back in 2005, I was dealing with other things than this, just as trying to find funds to hire people or stuff like this. But so I thought, okay, what is this? And I didn't even know it was the year or what it was, if it was alive or dead or what, nothing. So I went on the English Wikipedia, and on the search box, I typed Esperanza. And I found this page. And the important thing is just the first line, this project is officially inactive. So, okay. And then there were a bunch of things which were crossed, and there were two paragraphs explaining what it was, and there were two references in the signpost. The first reference is the project starting, and the second reference is the project ending. Okay, so I thought, okay, I'm going to see what it was about. So I read, and the idea was essentially this one. I tried to do a summary, so keep in mind I had no idea about this project, And I did only this summary with what I found on Wikipedia. So it was an association of sub-users of Wikipedia created in 2005, and the goal was essentially to try to make Wikipedia users happier and more participative and more efficient. Okay. And they created a sort of advisory council with an admin general, some government model. They were doing some closed meeting on IRC, and they were doing, they did quite a bunch of things. So my, what I found is there was a system to coach future admins. There was a place where they could help people feel better when they were very stressed. There was, we know that, that happens. And there were also some stuff. Well, to help, generally, there was a system to give some rewards to some users. There was a coffee place. I don't know if the pump was invented before this, so I suppose there were two coffee places at that time, presumably. So it was a bit strange, but okay. And this existed during 1 year and a half. But whilst I was looking for this information, what happened is that I discovered most of the pages have been deleted. So some were not, all of them redirect to this main page, and all the other, some pages were just kept for historical reason, and all the rest of it was deleted. Thank God I'm an admin on the English Wikipedia, so I could find some information, but then it was quite a bore. But the bottom line is, I'm sorry, Carrie, but it was tough. Yeah? There were hundreds of edits, and it was very difficult to understand what the substance of the project was. So I was thinking back to this reviewer there, saying, no information is given which lessons are learned by the project, such as the Esperanza. So I thought maybe I could think about all this and try to imagine the lessons which can be taken from somebody who come afterwards, who has never known the project, and we somehow expected to have some lesson from this. The other thing, I found this, it's on the second signpost. This was a comment made by some user at that time. And she mentioned that there were some closed meetings. There was no consensus building, no discussion, nothing. And it was repeated over and over that they needed the leadership, that bureaucracy was needed, and then Esperanza would collapse into a mess without it. So at this moment, there was a comparison between leadership and consensus building. It was either one or the other, which was very strange. And I just believe that we cannot all decide policies, we need leadership. So summary, we cannot make a decision if there is not a leader. Very strange. Did you participate to this? No. Did somebody was a member of the Esperanza movement? Nobody dare saying yes? I can't believe nobody was part of it. That's weird. You do not dare saying that. There was quite a bunch of users there, participants, apparently several dozens of people, maybe 100 or 150, so it was significant. So I wanted to first reflect on something, which I think is often confused. I've been in the room upstairs the whole day listening about social structure of Wikipedia and all these things. I wanted to reflect on the different theories between coordination, cooperation, and collaboration because they are very often confused. In the coordination, that's a group of people trying to do something together, and they try to cut down tasks in chunks so everyone can take care of a certain task but not the task of the other one. So in this case, what you mostly need to work out something as coordination tools, which wiki certainly are not necessarily very interesting to do. And the other thing is, these people, they just need to be aware of the general project and of the task they should take care about. And this is, for example, typically something we find on pages such as request for deletion. It's a project which is pretty simple, and people just list pages when they want them deleted, and a couple of people vote, and then the page is deleted. There is no real reason to think about this. It's all set. It's a simple solution. And then there's the cooperation, which is used when we're in complex situation, but we already know the various options which are available. It's if I may, he's not there, so I can say that today. For example, Michael Godwin, when he's working on the trademark problems, that's complex, but all the elements to do a strategic decision are already known. So he has to move things around, meet some skilled people, but essentially there's nothing new to invent. And then there is a collaboration, which is the situation where you're in a complex situation, but you need to invent something new. You need to think about something which is not known, and that's typically the situation we are in, where we see that users are not as motivated as before. This will be discussed tomorrow with Fuzz as well. It's how do we do to retain people and to attract new people, which is one of our major problems right now. So we have no idea what are the solutions. And when you look at the Esperanza project, that was exactly the same problem at that time, how to make sure people stay here and are happier and efficient. And the tools which are used in these various situations are not the same. And the funny thing, when you look at the first, for example, it's a task management tool. The second is more about discussion, communication, knowing what other people are doing. And the third one is more about co-creation tools, brainstorming, mind mapping, if some of those of you know that. And when we look at what we are doing, we are essentially using only wikis and mailing lists. Okay, and IRC. And that's about it. We are not using any other tools to try to work together. So that was just a little thought about that. And then on this right-hand side column about the place where we want to invent something new, that's the place where collective intelligence is set up. That's the place where people get together, they have a shared goal, they want to get somewhere, but they need to invent something entirely new and exciting. That's what they call collective intelligence. I found this wonderful image on Commons, that's France, Argentine. So, this is to talk about what is called the original collective intelligence. This is what happened in very small groups, such as sport team or the tribes in very ancient times. These are small groups of about maybe 5 to 25 people, no more, working together to go somewhere. And what has been done by theorists is to identify the 6 or 7 parameters who make it so that these teams work together and make something new emerge. And I wanted to reflect on these 6 parameters. So the first parameter is a convergence of interest. And that doesn't mean that everybody has the same goal, but that the goals are overlapping and that they are not contradictory one with another. And I like this point because I think it interacts pretty well with the discussion we had on the chapter earlier today. We don't necessarily have exactly the same goal, but there is no contradiction. And most of the time it goes in the same direction, but that's not the same goal. And the idea in this case is to make sure that the goal of each individual, each participant, is at least overlapping in part with the goal of the collective. If you look, I listened earlier to the result of the study about the union merit, and I was a little bit amazed to discover that within the question asked for why do people participate to Wikipedia, there were only 3 options, or 4. Only 4? Sharing knowledge with other people. Yeah, right. Okay, that's the official statement. We are all happy about that. And there was a second one, which was fixing typos or something, fixing mistakes. And the third one was making money, and of course not many people agree with that. And the fourth one was finding a job or something of this type. Yeah?
He only shared the top 2 and the bottom 2.
There was many more. Oh, I'm reassured, because I think most of us participate because it's fun and we're meeting people, right? So, yeah, but that would be interesting to really have an idea with, I mean, it's easy to say because I want to share knowledge with everyone. Yeah, but that's not the only reason why. But there's this goal. The second, usually we work pretty well on this, and the Esperanza project, of course, worked very well as well. The second thing is a little bit disturbing. That's what is called a social agreement or contract. That's all the reason why we are together and working together. So I put a document, a very old document of an agreement, but in most cases, that's something that is not written, that might be implicit. it's not necessarily always clear for everyone, in particular newcomers, but there must be this agreement. And one of the things which was striking about the Esperanza is that they couldn't get to a social agreement. There was apparently a big fight about the charter of the stuff. So if you don't have this, well, you don't get anywhere. And then there was a third thing. Does anyone know this word, holoptic? Maybe you do. Holoptic, H-O-L-O-P-T-I-C. Just below there is an image. Everything comes from Commons, of course. It's an image of a prison in Cuba, and that's a typical. These prisons were built in such a way that it's totally round, and the guardian of the prisoner is here in the middle. And all the prisoners are around, so the guardian can see all the prisoners anytime. The what? Yeah, it comes from that. That's where the word comes from. And the prisoners themselves, they can maybe see one or two other prisoners, but they don't see the other prisoners, so they can't see each other, right? So that's the notion of panopticism, where you have only one central guy seeing all the other ones, but the other ones don't see each other. Maybe another example is the mountain. When you're in the deep valley, you see all the details, such as the squirrels running in the snow, but you don't see the other valleys and the other tops. And whilst you're on top of the mountain, you can see the general valley, but you don't see the details. That's exactly how big organizations are set up. There's the boss on top, you just see the overall, but it doesn't see the details, and the staff members can see the details, but not necessarily the overall. So the notion of holoptic space is the situation where everyone in the group sees what happens around him. If you're playing football, for example, when you're in the field, you can see what other people are doing, all of them. So that's this notion. And when you look at Wikipedia, that's exactly what we try to do. We can anytime know what is going on. We are not necessarily interested, but we know it's going on. Why is that important? That's the fourth point. Does anyone know is no good? You're from which country? This is a little persona who wants with the vizier, the second, and he wants to be the chief. Instead of the chief, but he never succeeded to be the chief. Of course, he always stayed the second. And the notion of the polymorphic social structure is that basically at any time, the people can change roles depending on their skills, depending on the needs, depending on the situation. For example, the other day, I thought they were going to remove me my adminship bits. So I thought I need to go there and to do a little bit some actions, deletion action, just to try. It took me about an hour to understand how I had to do that now. Super complicated. But I did it, and I was able to do it. Usually I don't do it. And there was a whole list of tasks to do. So I was happy I could find something to do. I did it. If I see there's something going on and nobody takes care of it, I have the right, I'm empowered to go there and to do the work. If it's not needed, I don't need to do it. If I'm in a closed space where I don't know what's going on, I have no reason to think I need to go there and do something. But if I'm on Wikipedia and I see something needs to be done, maybe I'm interested to jump in. So one of the things which is considered to be one of these factors for collective intelligence is the fact that everyone has the opportunity to do something which is needed to be done. And that can only happen if you see what's going on, right? Then there is a fifth point, and all of you know that. That's this notion of economy based on gift. In a traditional competition-based economy, the people do something only if they get something back, only if they have this warranty, such as a salary or a raise or a title or whatever. In the economy based on gift, it's not that they are not paid, it's that they start doing something with no warranty they will get something back. Maybe when a participant comes to Wikipedia, they do something, maybe people will be happy, or maybe they won't. Maybe it will be bugged. Who knows? So he needs to start first, give, and maybe if the collective earns in wealth, he will participate again and he will gain something. But he's not sure of that. And the third one, the sixth one, is what we call the learning organization. That's a place where we can learn from what happened in the past. We can learn about the history of the organization. And we can learn about the mistakes which were done. And if mistakes were done, we can learn from them and do something differently. Right? So what happened? And last point, of course, that's what is called serendipity. So I guess many more people know that. Who knows the word? Many don't. Surprising for Wikipedians. That's no. That's the concept of finding something just by luck. You were not looking for anything, and you found something. So that's this discovery just by chance. And this, all these six qualities help to do, to have the chance of seeing emerging this innovation bit. Except that what happened when we grow very big, such as in Wikipedia, there are essentially three problems. The first problem is as you have more and more participants, you lose in efficiency because you don't see what's going on around. The second point is there is no spatial proximity, and that's one of the problems we try to solve in having meetings, for example. And the third problem, which is the one which is raised all the time, such as it was this afternoon, is who takes the decision and how? There was, when big organizations started growing, essentially there were five things that appeared to balance these three problems. The first thing that appeared is authority. That's deciding that this person would have authority over another one so that at least a decision could be made. The second thing is division of labor, which is what we tried to do when we did the, for example, the arbitration committee. That was the either way. Whether that works or not is another problem. But that's what we tried to do, at least to give the right to somebody else for a certain time to take the decision for all the other ones. Then there was the third one, which is the strictly defined organization chart. So that's when we decide that only steward will be able to do steward action. And that was very strange to hear Jennifer, because I don't feel when we try to define these things that we wanted to give a specific power over others. It was just a role. The power is something else. The fourth thing which is frequently mentioned is setting more and more proprietary norms and standards so that things can communicate with each other. And the fixed one is a monetary system which is fixed, which is based on scarcity and which is not something we are confronted to in our group. And there is this, the theoretician, they worked on defining, so the original system, which is the one I first described with the 6 points. And then there is this pyramidal system which was invented to fit with big organization with the addition of the division of labor and all these things. And there is this global system which is currently emerging that we have been seeing emerging in the past 5 years or so. And this global system is emerging thanks to a bunch of reasons. And the first reason is, of course, the invention of the internet. And why is it important? Just because it restores this alloptism, so the possibility to see what other people are doing. And the second one made me laugh a lot, because it make appear the new norms, and so that interoperability could be possible between organizations, which is what we did. So given these points, I reflected about the lessons about the Esperanza. Convergence of interest, I think it was. Gift system, I think it was. Except as Jennifer said, we might have to invent new incentives. I don't think the barn stars are sufficient anymore. I only received one barn star in my life. I'm super disappointed. Okay. The open norms and open standard, I think that despite what Stallman said this morning, we are pretty good at that. And then there was a bunch of things which really didn't work, and which clearly explains what, from the very beginning, the project was a failure. The social agreement, the charter defined by the Esperanza, was something they could never agree upon in more than a year. The holoptic space, well, they just invented closed meetings on IRC or closed discussion on mailing lists. So of course there was no holoptic space, and of course the other members had no idea what was going on and did nothing. Then the polymorphic social structure, they had an admin general, so great, good idea. Was there a collective intelligence management? I didn't find anything evident. And the last thing, the learning organization. Well, frankly, when 3 years afterwards, I tried to understand what happened, and I need to be an admin to look in the deleted pages. I think it's illogical that for anything we try to develop on our project to learn and to try to improve the situation, then it doesn't work. We delete everything to make sure that nobody knows about it and nobody finds anything. Well, let's try to keep all these things. I saw the same thing back in 2002 or 2003, where all the discussion about the English Wikipedia were moved to Meta. It's the same. There are a bunch of pages which are fascinating for sociologists over there, but it's all just dumped like this. Let's try to keep history about these things. And then I also wanted to reflect on the chapter thing, because that was my original thinking. And it's the same. I think we have this convergence of interest pretty much. The gift system is probably insufficient, because right now people participating in the chapters rarely can see what they would receive in exchange of their work. Open norms, open standard, no change. Social agreement, collectively agreed, we discussed about it during our lunchtime meeting. There's nothing. Holoptic space, well, think about it. We have a chapter wiki and a chapter list and an internal wiki, an internal list, and some people are on it, others are not, and who knows? The polymorphic social structure, I think it works pretty well, because if I want to take care of something or somebody wants to take care of it, we basically don't try to prevent people from doing things they want to do. The way we decide things is completely struggling. The best example we recently had was the thing related to the new trademark agreement, which was a disaster. Well, we got nowhere. And learning organization, we set up some mechanism in the past year, in particular the monthly or so. Or we tried to do monthly reports. I think the French chapter hasn't done report in 6 months, I think, something like this. So it doesn't work so well, but these are some of the reasons on which we could reflect. And the other thing I wanted to say is, with the organization with whom I worked, we identified three things related to collaboration. The first is wanting to collaborate. The second is related to knowing how to do that, and I think that's part of your job to try to make to help us, and we need it very much. And the third one is the tool. And again, I don't know if you have any idea on this, but only using IRC wikis and mailing lists is probably really something we need to work on in the future. Whether it's the tools are separated or whether they are integrated is something else to think of, but it's not sufficient. We discussed that last year as well during Wikimania in Egypt, over, for example, the use of the social networks, and I didn't see anything special happen. The only thing that changed is Twitter, right? We didn't use it last year. Yeah, but what do we really do over Facebook? Do we really do something? You host events in Hong Kong? Yeah, and? Yeah. So you had more participants than if it had been on the wiki?
Yeah, not only.
Are there others using Facebook really to improve the collaboration between the members? But do we really try to see each other over there? I don't think so. Many of us have an account that we use with others, but we don't really use this account to know each other better. Twitter, yes, we do, but not Facebook. Not. Yeah. You're a big user of Facebook. Yeah. That's a way of keep. Yeah, that's true. That's something that could be interesting. Before Facebook, in effect, we had no way to contact back the guys who left, except for the email wiki or whatever, which usually didn't work. So maybe there are some other things we can, beyond offering flowers, which is great, but beyond this, maybe there are other things we can develop. I agree that the preparation of the event is something really nice. It works well. Yeah. Yeah. For the chat or for the conference?
Discussion.
Just for the discussion. Yeah. Why not IRC? What's the difference? Recently, we started using it for the French chapter meetings, but when we tried to use stuff like DimDim for video conferencing, well, the bandwidth was so we gave up. It didn't work.
Wait,
yeah.
Start with your questions.
Yeah, but basically, I think we're essentially here. The last thing I wanted to conclude was this issue related to decision making, and I just wanted to show you a couple of screens of things which are pretty well known for people working in that field, but that we really never looked at as Wikipedian, I think. It's just this idea of separating the six processes when we take a decision, which is the research and collection of information, which is exactly what the BridgeSpan group is currently doing. But usually we merge that with the brainstorming, and we also merge that with the consulting, which is essentially doing polls. We usually put everything together, people add comments, and they do at the same time the research, the collection, the brainstorming, and the vote together. And then we get to the next step, which is the deciding, and at this point we realize we have no idea who is going to decide anything. So it collapsed pretty well. And then the point number five is about keeping the history of what we have been thinking and why we came to a certain decision. And then the last one is the action, which we are usually good at, unless we disagree with the final decision because we think it was bad. But so one of the things I've been working on with some people was to establish this a list of things before taking any decision and try to identify who would participate to this. And this result in this type of charter, which is something pretty straight, but we just don't take the time to do it. To identify, the last line is when there is one person, then there is a little group of people, and then there's the collective, all the people involved in the decision which is taken. And we try to identify the various steps and to see at which level the things will be done. And for example, if you make if you are trying to look for a decision on something, a group can look for the information, and then all the brainstorming and polling would be done for every member of Wikipedia. And then the decision could be made by one individual or just by a subgroup. And then the story sharing is done by the group and everybody is doing the thing, the action. But this needs to be done before starting anything to avoid the confusion where in the end we have no idea who is deciding what. And I think if there was an agreement beforehand of who is going to take the decision based on who's brainstorming, it would be much easier. And over this, while I'm essentially done, just to say that, of course, deciding that one person or that many person would take the decision highly depends on whether the situation to take is urgent or not urgent, and on the impact. If the decision is taken by only one person, well, it's very nice because we can complain afterwards and reverse the decision. Whilst when the decision is taken by all the Wikipedians together, well, essentially it's very much binding. So that's why there are referendum organizing countries, for example. If you do a referendum such as changing the license, then there is no change possible afterwards. What if it had been taken only by, say, Sue? Well, we could throw a revolution. Are there some questions on this? What does it? Yeah, Faz.
If you're interested in hearing about the Esperanza issue in Wikipedia Weekly podcast we do, episode 8 has a whole episode about Esperanza and its deletion.
You existed at that time?
Yeah, yeah.
In 2006?
Yeah, it was episode 8. Yeah. So, and we actually had Esperanzans on the podcast talking about the conflict and the controversy. So go back and listen. Yeah. Yeah, episode 8 of wikipediaweekly.org. I can't believe I remember that. And the other thing is, check, you now have another Barn Star on your homepage. So.
Thank you.
So that's a good point, what Andrew just said. How do you think we can improve our institutional memory, and especially for strategic planning? How do we bring in all this knowledge that all of us have who have been around for a long time about projects that failed, projects that we started, ideas that people had, 7 million mailing list posts? I mean, how do we preserve this institutional memory?
In particular, all the mailing lists. Just to think about it, I know some people try it from time to time to do some summary once a month, but it's such an amount of work. I don't know. I heard this afternoon talking a little bit again about the liquid threads thing. I don't know if it can help. One thing I know for sure is deletion of a project afterwards because we didn't like it. It's just, or moving all the discussion and losing all the history to another wiki is just, it's not a good idea. But yeah, the problem is that most of us don't want to take the time to summarize what happened. Here in this case, the funny thing is that the discussion about the Esperanza, they said the conclusion would be to summarize the history of what happened. And yeah, you look at in the end, there are 10 lines. Otherwise, no, I don't know. Avoiding deletion for sure, unless we give the adminship bits to everyone.
I just want to make one comment about Phoebe's earlier thing. There is occasionally value to institutional forgetting because new people often come in and will tackle a problem that the organization has looked at 12 times and say is not possible, but either they will attack it from a different perspective, they'll get lucky, technology will change, and it's different. And so I think there's occasionally value in institutional forgetting. That said, having an archive is nice. The other comment I wanted to make was, could you go back to the slide where you showed the sort of picture of a decision being made? I found that really interesting and curious. Having come from being involved in the Wikipedia community, but having worked in several large corporations, which all have different forms of decision-making models. Whether at eBay we had one called RASCI, which was, let's say, there's the responsible, or people who are responsible, the approver, and the informers. Like, everyone knows their role in this thing that's happening. And that's sort of how I interpret this kind of thing. The question I have is, do you think it would be received well by such a decentralized organization, and one that prides itself on anyone being able to play basically any role at any time?
I know that in France that's very difficult, but I've seen that applied in particular for the civil society. For example, when you want to involve the citizen in a decision made over where you put the train line, the future tram or whatever, or should we remove this or remove that or install a pool or rather than the tennis, whatever. These type of things work well. With some idea that when you have something which is going to impact, for example, being decided, consulting being done at the collective level, then you mandatorily need to have the brainstorming at the collective level. Otherwise, there is strong opposition. I saw that being used in particular as well for trade unions when there is a big economic crisis somewhere and they intend to, lay off people or do something. rather than having a small group of people just making the decision or whatever. They try to put it as much as possible at the collective level, because they know afterwards the people have been involved in the decision, even if it's painful in the end, it works well in the end. But that means that the people participating are not just the informer, the decision maker, or whatever. Other questions? Then you will have to come here.
I just thought of it compulsively, so I might not make sense. But I was wondering, on online community, trying something before deciding it's possible. That's what I'm trying to do with Usability Initiative. We try to let people try, and maybe our case is easier because it's an interface and it's optional. That sort of switch mode is available. But I think some of the actions Wikimedians can take, maybe we can do some trial and see, insert that before decision making, so that we don't do a big bang sort of decision and found out that doesn't work. Maybe we can do small sort of experimental.
What happened is the 2, 3, and 4 is simplified because you can round as much as possible. Let's say there was a big brainstorming and we decide on, for example, a charter, and then we get all the chapters to vote on the charter, and 9 over 10 chapters vote no. Well, you go back and you do it again, and you reflect on why they said no, whatever. So there's no reason why we couldn't put as well the decision, which might be we try it for 1 month and we see what happens. That's more or less what was done with the flagged revision, for example. We try it, and if there's a disaster, we go back, unless it's a decision that is afterwards, it cannot be reversed easily. But yeah, of course, yeah. The big difference I found in compared to many cases is that the storing and sharing was on purpose put before the action, because when you put it after the action, most of the time, then we don't do it. So there was really an in terms of communication, if you do all the brainstorming and then the sharing of information and summarizing, in particular because you want to explain to the rest of the community, to the press or whoever, before doing the thing, that makes sense as well. So that forces you to collect all the information and the process which was followed as well, rather than doing it afterwards. At least these are some thoughts. Comments? Eugène? No? Anyone else? So let's close. No, you have up.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, the one thing I find about decision is that we're perhaps the victims of an entire atmosphere or a social structure of mistrust. That if you're going to let somebody decide at some point, you have to trust that person. But we constantly hear the same old arguments where there's a feeling, I'll use deletionist inclusionists, that the deletionists are trying to remove everything, that the inclusionists have got no sense about what to keep. And by having this constant argument, you end up with a feeling that nobody is trusted to decide. And I think this is not just from Wikimedia origins, but from the entire society, that if you look at the way that people who decide things have handled the economy, that starts to affect how we look at our own environments.
That's true. And that's also why deciding with the small group is something absolutely mandatory in the process.
Yeah.
If you just pick up because, well, it...
One side issue, I should add.
So I give it back to you, stay here. Just I keep it with him. Anyway, he's a French-speaking guy, he needs to be there. Now I was thinking again on the chapter thing, on the trademark agreement, that was, we didn't succeed to do essentially the second part, but the idea was if we can collect all the information from the chapter, which we did, and if we succeed to have a small group here, work on defining a chart of some sort, and then have some poll over all the chapters, and maybe all the chapters would, or most of them would say, yeah, that's a good idea. Then we can move to the next step, which is let each chapter to decide whether yes or no, they approve the chapter. But there's the poll here. So you have the research and information, which was done at the global level, the brainstorming, which can be here, done here or here, the consulting, which should be over every organization, and the vote is done by each chapter. So, but you need to define in advance who is that little group, and deciding that little group, we tend very, I think with it's an error, to say, let's pick up the chair of each chapter, because that's the easy way. We just take the representative, so it should be the chair of each chapter. That means this group end up being 25 people, of people who sometimes don't understand English, don't care, know nothing about legal stuff. So here it's mandatory to have a group which is decided based on, upon their interests and skills, not just for representation issues.
No, this was just an aside. The first thing that I ever heard about Esperanza is that there had been an agreement to cancel it. And the name was fantastic. But it provides us with the opportunity by deleting all of this stuff to have something else with a different name that will successfully make the same mistakes.
On these good words, closed. Thank you.